So this pastor is walks into his backyard and he sees up in this smallish tree in his backyard this kitten that's climbed up and gotten itself stuck. And his first thought is, I can get up to that kitten, but he can't reach it, right? So he comes up with this amazing idea that he's just going to tie a rope to his car, tie the other end of the rope to the tree, and kind of pull the rope backwards until it gets low enough where he can get the kitten out of the tree. And so he ties the rope, starts doing that, starts pulling it, and then he goes out there and kind of tries to reach up, and he can't quite reach the kitten still. It's just a little bit too high. So he goes, if I just go a little bit farther. And so he pulls the car just a little bit farther, and the tree comes a little bit farther down, and then the rope breaks. And the kitten goes hurtling through the air out of his yard, blocks away. All he sees is this kitten going through the air going, ah, you know. And so he takes off and he starts looking, trying to find the kitten, trying to figure out if it ended up going through somebody's window or, you know, landing in another tree. He can't find it anywhere. So he comes back going, well, God, I feel really terrible about that. Now, this is where you know this didn't happen to me, because I wouldn't have had that prayer about a cat, but that's different. But he goes, God, I feel terrible about the kitten. Some of you are like, that's wrong. I know. Anyway, feeling terrible about the kitten. He's just like, God, I just commit it into your hands. Well, about 2 days later, he is in the supermarket and he sees this lady who's a neighbor, who's also a church member, buying cat food. And he's like, what are you doing? You don't even like cats. Why would you be buying cat food? And she goes, Pastor, you're not going to believe this, dude. My daughter has been bugging me for months to get a cat. I keep telling her, we are not going to have a cat. We are not going to have a cat. Finally, I just told her, listen, pray about it. If God gives you a cat, maybe we'll have a cat. And I wouldn't have believed this if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. She went into our backyard, got down on her knees and said, Dear God, please give me a cat. And at that moment, out of the sky, a cat landed right in front of her. You never know what's going to happen when you pray, right? You never know what the outcome will be. We're going to take a few weeks excursus from Mark and talk about prayer. The reason we're going to do this is because prayer is vital. It's important to us, but I also think that we have a lot of improvement as a church to do that. But alongside of this, during the month of May, we're going to have a church-wide emphasis on praying together, on prayer, on emphasizing us going to God as a community of faith together and seeking the great things of God. I really don't like going to the doctor, because I know they're going to do a couple things, and then he's going to come in the room and look at me and go, we got to talk. He's going to make me stand on the scale, which right there, it starts the whole experience off badly, right? And then he's going to go put this cuff on my arm. He's going to, you know, the nurse is going to squeeze that thing, and they're going to look at my blood pressure. They're going to take my temperature. What happens when you go to the doctor is there's a few things that they do right off the bat that are indicators of your health, that kind of give the doctor and the people who are going to be helping you out just a sense of where your health is. And your weight, your blood pressure, you know, even sometimes taking a little bit of blood are kind of these indicators on health. Well, as we look at the scriptures and we wrestle deeply with the things of God, one of the things I want you to understand is that there are some indicators of the health of an individual and the health of a people when it comes to our spiritual lives, our walk with God, our encounter with God. And one of those indicators, one of those things that we can look at to say, you know, where are a people in terms of their depth with God, their health, what's happening in their lives on the level of them connecting to God, one of those is the way they pray. Their prayer lives and how that saturates, influences everything. And as a church, we have a core value that says our core value is that of prayer. But if I were to put the blood pressure cuff on Genesis, let me tell you some things that I find. Now, you need to hear this. This is not me trying to guilt you into something right now. I'm telling you that I'm seeing some indicators and that your leaders see some indicators. For example, I hear from community group leaders often that we'll sit around and talk about all kinds of stuff, but when it comes time to actually pray together in our communities of faith, that people shy away from that, they don't like it, they feel uncomfortable, and it's really, really difficult to get our people together to pray. I see Koinonia's prayer page, where we're asking people to post prayer requests and to create this dialogue that I wish was massive. I wish there was stuff getting posted where people were posting praises, posting prayer requests, and that there was a dialogue going on in Koinonia all the time. That if you weren't using anything else, at the very least, you were going on Koinonia daily. And when you had a need, you were posting it. When you saw an evidence of grace in your life, you were posting it. But at the same time, when you saw other people interacting on Koinonia and saying, I have a prayer need, that all of a sudden we'd see 50 people go, bro, we're praying for you. But what I see is when somebody posts a need, one or two people reply to it. I know that when we do like our quarterly prayer breakfast, which we're going to do again here in the month of May, that there are three or four or maybe five faithful families that come almost every time. But a church that will run 120 on a lot of Sundays, we'll be lucky to get 15 or 20 people there to pray once a quarter. And what I'm saying is these indicators that we've published several times that on Friday morning at 6:45, we gather, a group of us gather together to pray, just to pray once a week for our church, to gather as just a small group to say, man, we're going to lift up our church. We're going to lift up the people. We're going to pray for you. Every week we do this, we pray for you, what you're being in here. But that group, all it's three guys. Three faithful dudes who show up on a weekly basis, but that's it. Now, hear me. I'm not saying, therefore, feel guilty, get it right. What I'm saying is when I put the cuff on, we step on the scales as a church. The indicators are showing us that maybe we are not as healthy as we'd like to be. Now, I also realize that for a lot of you, this whole Christian thing is new. And so you're like, for real, man, sitting in a group of people praying out loud totally freaks me out. It scares me because it's a little bit awkward and uncomfortable. I've never done that before. And that's why we're doing this series. This series is almost a little bit of a how to pray. I love my wife deeply, but I am really thankful for the couple of marriage seminars where I've attended where somebody stood on the stage and said, hey, bro, you got to communicate with your wife. Let me give you some pointers on how to make that happen. And the things that I learned that helped me figure out how to do some things so that eventually those things that I was doing became natural. This is kind of that in terms of our relationship with God. We're going to do a series. It's kind of a, let's look at this, let's look at your lives, and let's interact with some just real practical, how do you download some things in your life so that your prayer eventually just becomes, these areas of prayer become just a natural part of who you are, okay? And so we're you know, running with the trendy thing. We're going to talk about, you know, I pray and apps, and either you can think, oh, that's cool, they're trendy, or you can think, okay, that's really dorky, and it's okay either way, we don't care. Just have a little fun with us with the series title, I Pray. But understand, we all get the idea of apps, okay? We get the idea that in this culture, when you have a phone, that's a smartphone, an iPhone, or an Android or something like that, you download apps that are just these real simple things that are on your phone that you just touch them, you open up, and now you can use them. Well, what we're going to look at is we're going to look at some apps that you can download into your life that are prayer apps that you can download to your life, and you just got to learn how to both have them in your life, but then how to use those things in your life on a regular basis. And the place we're going to go to do that is the book of Psalms. I've been, for the last several months in my own personal time with God, have been reading the Psalms and have been re-engaging what the Psalms teach us about how to pray. And I know that some people immediately, their response is going to be, all right, bro, here's the deal. The Bible says a lot about not praying in public and not, you know, being proud and making sure that your prayer in public isn't haughty and all that. So what we ought to do is we just shouldn't pray in public. Actually, when Jesus said those, he wasn't saying don't pray in public. He was saying be careful how you pray in public. Make sure what your prayer in public is a reflection of what's going on in your private life. But the entire book of Psalms, okay, is a book of Psalms, songs, poems, and prayers that were to be used in public worship. It's a sort of hymn book that they would use in public worship as they came together as the people of God and prayed and interacted with God and sought God deeply. And so if we have a whole book of the Bible that is public prayers, then we need to know that this is part of what should be happening with us as a people. But my goal in doing this is we open these prayers, as we open these Psalms, is that you'll begin to see in them not just a set of verses, you'll begin to see in these Psalms a model for how to do it. So that if you're like, okay, I don't really know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to make this work. I sit down in my prayer time and I just go, dear God, Hope you have a great day. My back hurts. Help me out with that. Okay, I'm done. That when you hit those times where you don't know how to say, what you have in this book is 150 different vertical conversations that you can model, that you can literally go to and say, when I don't know how to pray, I will pray this. And what happens when you do that is that at first, if you'll spend this month doing what we're asking you to do, which is go dig yourself in the Psalms and start praying the Psalms, at the end of a month, you won't need a how-to guide anymore. You won't need a lecture on best practices or some, it'll become just a natural part of your life where you and God are in a conversation and it's just wonderful. Okay, that's our goal. And so we hope that this will happen over the next month as we just kind of download these apps. And there's five apps we're going to look at. We're going to look at the app of praise this morning. We're going to look at Thanksgiving, which is a little bit different from praise next week. We're going to talk about the app of confession. We're going to talk about the app of request, when you take the issues that you have before God. And then we're going to talk about the app of lament. Is it okay to be really frustrated and angry at God? And is there a good way to express that? And I'll give you a preview. I know like Memorial Day is a time where everyone wants to head for the lake. And if you do, that's cool. But listen to the sermon. If you're not here, listen to that sermon. Because I think one of the things we all struggle with is when our life doesn't look like we feel like it should, and we keep depending on God, and he seems to be silent. Where do we go? Psalms gives us an amazing, amazing model for that, okay? And so what we're going to talk about is these apps, and what we've done is we have given you these nice little post-it notes, okay? You get walked in, and you're like, why are they giving me these? What am I supposed to do? Well, this is what we want you to do right now this morning. I'm going to tell you the five passages we're going to be preaching on. And for the next month, you can even start downloading. You can go look at your app and open these five Psalms as you just think about how to pray. So we want you even right now, as I'm about to give you these, find these passages and put a little post-it note in your Bible, so that you have those right now, okay? So the first one we're talking this morning, we're gonna be in Psalm 146. We'll be talking about the app of praise, of looking to God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Then the second one, so go ahead and Psalm 146, go ahead and find that. And if you don't have your own Bible here, you can just hold on to these and write them down on the back of this and put it in your own Bible later, okay? Or if you don't have a Bible, take one of ours and go ahead and mark it now and take that one home with you. That's cool too, okay? And then next week, we'll be in Psalm 86. And in Psalm 86, we will be talking about Thanksgiving. Then the third week, we'll be in Psalm 51. So go ahead and mark that with the third one here. Psalm 51, we're going to be talking about confession and repentance. The fourth week, we will be in Psalm 65. And that week, Weston's going to be preaching to us about the importance of praising or of lifting our requests, of making our requests made known to God and taking the problems in our life and going to the throne and asking God to intervene and work in our lives, okay? Psalm 65. I'll hit them all again. Let me get the last one and I'll do the whole thing over again, okay? And then the last one is Psalm 13. And that's the one where we will go, God, my life stinks. I don't know how to make sense of it, or lament. So here they are again. Today is 146. Next week is Psalm 86. The third week is Psalm 51. The fourth week is Psalm 65. And the fifth week will be Psalm 13. But here's the deal we're encouraging. This is why I want you to go ahead and mark your Bible now. Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you go, dear God, stop right then. Go grab your Bible. Find one of these Psalms. Flip to it and just pray it. Just say, I mean, literally, let your heart say what's on the page and work through it. These are prayers. The one we're doing this morning isn't quite. It's a call to prayer. It's a cry to the people of God to do what the psalm tells us to do, which is to go vertical. But every other one of these is literally a vertical conversation that people are having with God. They put it on a page so that we can read their vertical conversation. But it's a call from God for us to enter in. And so when I don't know what to pray, I have a book that teaches me that I literally can use to model, or I literally can use to mimic, so that I learn how to pray. It is important. Every great move of God, if you study revivals, I have studied revivals where all of a sudden God just did amazing works. Every time you find a revival, whether it's in a small town or in a city or in a nation, every time you find a revival, you find a group of people who have become passionate about deeply, deeply seeking God in prayer. Y'all, I want a revival here. I want to see God do stuff that we can't explain. I want to see people's lives transformed by the beauty of the gospel. I want to see people who are in shackles break free. I want to see people who are sick, both physically and spiritually, find healing. I want to see people find the glory of Christ in mass numbers. And I want to see that because God does something that we can't say Mike did it, the church did it. We'll have to look and go, wow, God did it. But somehow God, the starting point of that, the way God works is that he calls his people to depth with him and to pray. And I want to see that happen. And so I hope this next 5 weeks will lead us in that direction a little bit, okay? And we'll change it so that when we have these events, more people will be there. There'll just be a more of a hunger in the people of God to participate in prayer, both individually and together as a people. And the community group leaders won't be going, man, when we pray, nobody prays. It's me every week. But instead, they'll go, man, when we pray, we never get to the stupid discussion guide because we throw out prayer requests, and next thing you know, we're an hour into prayer, and we don't want to stop. It's been amazing. I love those stories. That's what I'm hoping, okay? And so this morning, we're going to look at the first application here, which is the app of praise. And you know what happens in this a lot of times, the whole prayer thing and the praise thing and interacting with this, sometimes it's hard. Because especially if you're kind of new to this, you feel like when you saw that girl, right? Guys, every guy in here has gone through this where who is now his wife, and he had this feeling down deep in the inside that wouldn't look like this. Yo, baby, she's hot. I would like to hang out with her. I would like to get to know her. And on the inside, you were whistling, but then you're like, okay, what do I do with this? How do I engage this person to conversation, flirt with her? And so you remember the first time you kind of went up to her and you kind of tried to figure out what it looked like to, hey, this is me. And I somehow without looking right in her face and go, I think you are gorgeous, baby. You and me, let's go out. You wanted to walk up to her and somehow engage in this conversation that would get her attention and that would start things going, but it was terrifying, right? And then as you kind of got to know her, the idea of reaching over and grabbing her hand, putting your arm around her shoulder, that first kiss, I mean, part of you was like, yes, but part of you was like, I don't know what to do. This is kind of scary. And on the inside, what was going on is you're like, what if I look like a fool? What if she totally rejects me, right? What if I totally just like, hey, baby, I think you're hot. And she's like, bug off, you goober, I don't think you're anything. And all of a sudden, there in front of your friends, everybody's like, and making fun of you. What if I just feel totally awkward, right? And so all those feelings are going on. Well, here's what I'm saying, that, prayer is a conversation with God, but when you're new to this thing, sometimes you go through the same set of feelings. What if I end up looking totally silly? What if I'm in my group and I pray something and everybody like in the middle of prayer just opens their eyes and they're staring at me like, I can't believe that just came out of your mouth, right? Or what if I feel totally rejected? Or if it's just awkward, and even privately or corporately, that it just feels awkward. And so the easier thing if you're a guy is to go, I'm just not doing it. The easier thing sometimes as a follower of Jesus is to do the same thing. It's just easier not to than to get my hopes up and to get engaged in something that I don't understand and that is just awkward, right? And so the challenge, though, is that in both situations, the benefits of taking that step towards relationship far outweigh the possible awkwardness and rejection. And in God's case, you got to know there's a promise that you won't be rejected, that you'll be loved and accepted and received. And so prayer is that way, and praise leads us in that direction. Praise is when our hearts begin to see the greatness of God. In fact, a quick definition of praise is this. Praise is adoration of God for who he is. It is my heart loving and adoring God for who he is and the expression of that. And so here's a question for you, church. What is more important, praise? What you get or who you get? Let me say it again. What is more important in your prayers? What you get or who you get? Do you believe that? Or are your prayers really consumed with God, give me, God, give me, God, give me, God, give me? Have you really seen God as a great genie in the sky where if you rub the lamp, he pops out and he gives you your three wishes? Or do you really come to the point where you realize at the core of this, there is a great God who is calling us into a conversation, into a relationship with himself, and that we need to, the goal of prayer is not to get stuff or to get healing or to get blessings. The goal of prayer is to get God, to have him in our lives and in a relationship, and that relationship just goes deeper and deeper and thicker and more. And the call here is to a relationship. And so a guy named Ian Bounds has a great quote. He said this, "The faith that creates powerful praying is faith that centers itself on a powerful person." Faith that creates powerful praying is faith that centers itself upon a powerful person. We will only go deep and have a strong prayer life when our eyes begin to be open to the greatness of our God. And that is more than a song we sing on Sunday. It's an all-consuming part of life. And our lips and our lives begin to just simultaneously worship and praise. Now, we'll talk about this next week in more detail, but praise and thanksgiving kind of go hand in hand. But praise is specifically looking at who God is, where thanksgiving is a reflection of thanks for what God has done. And we need both. It is great to say, God, thank you for my family. God, thank you for my salvation. God, thank you for my church. God, thank you for my house. That's what God does, and that's beautiful. We need to do that. But we also need to look at God and go, God, I see you. And marriage is just a beautiful way to picture all this. If all I did is look at my wife and say, listen, thanks for this, thanks for this, thanks for this, and never looked at her and said, I see beyond what you do for me. I look deeply into who you are, and I'm awed by that. If that's all I did was thankfulness and I never saw just who she was and was deeply moved by her person, that relationship would have something amiss. Now hear this, okay? As we talk about praise this morning, God is not some middle school girl, no offense intended, but he's not some middle school girl who's sitting over in a corner writing a note going, do you like me, yes or no, and handing off a note hoping that we'll take that note and X, yes, I like you, God, and giving it back. And he's over in a corner going, please like me, please like me. God doesn't need our praise. He is not desperately up in heaven going, I hope they read the Psalms and start saying this stuff to me because my self-esteem is going low. Okay? Praise does not add to the glory of God, it reflects the glory of God. And when our hearts begin to praise and our lips begin to worship and we begin to pray and celebrate both privately and publicly the greatness of our God, some things happen in our lives that puts us deeper in touch with him so that his work in our life just grows and grows and grows. And so let me tell you some things before we get to this actual prayer, this psalm, and model this for you. Let me tell you some things that will happen in your life when you download the app of praise and you begin to click it and use it and integrate this into your life on a regular basis, okay? First of all, when you praise, praise will change your perspective. Praise will change what you see. See, we come into our lives on a daily basis and what seems huge. As you showed up here today, think about this. No, I don't want an out loud answer, but think about this. What seems huge in your life? Is it your finances? Is it struggles with a job situation? Is it a family crisis? Is it guilt over something that's happened in your past? Is it resentment, anger? What seems huge? What happens when I begin to worship and my lips begin to praise and I begin to intentionally looking at the greatness of God, I begin to see it, is that those things will shrink. And in my own heart, God will get bigger and bigger and bigger. We need that. We need to see that the brokenness that is in my life, while it seems just gargantuan to me, is puny compared to the greatness of the God that I worship. I don't know if you've ever been to Grand Canyon or been at the base of a majestic, huge mountain. But I guarantee you, nobody stands at the edge of the Grand Canyon or at the base of a mountain and exalts the glory of their own personhood. You do not stand. I mean, we've been to the Rocky Mountains several times. You do not stand at the base of one of these mountains where you look up and you see the beauty and the majesty and the size of it and go, look at me, I am somebody. You look at this and go, man, what a huge mountain. And this is what praise does. Praise takes you so that not only do you see the mountain and the glory of it, you see the creator of the mountain. And all of a sudden, the stuff that seems to consume you, and we feel like this little bitty part of life that is our time on earth is so huge. And then our mouths begin to worship, our hearts begin to praise. We begin to look in the scriptures and find this and find models, and we download this app. What happens over a season of life of integrating praise into your life all the time is that it just starts to spew out of you. And that the stuff that seems so huge gets very small, and the stuff that is, and the God that is very big begins to be magnified in our life. It's one of the key words that talks about praising God is to magnify the Lord. Because we're gonna just come to him and let his greatness just consume us. This is why the Bible just literally drips with worship and praise. It literally drips with words that magnifies the greatness of God. And so our perspective will change. If you start praising, if you start just both privately and then corporately, and when we come together as a church and are singing, you know, you begin to praise and your lips say it, your heart feels it, and you seek after it, all of a sudden your perspective will start changing. Another thing that will happen is not only will your perspective change, but praise will draw you into God's presence. There's a psalm that says God literally dwells in the praises of his people. And it's a picture of the fact that when we praise, when our hearts are deeply lifted, that there is a presence of God that is very real, almost tangible, and we will experience the God we are praising. And another thing that will happen when you praise is that praise will transform you as a person. Praise will transform you as a person. See, here's the deal. And this is like all through the Bible, and you've heard me talk about this a lot. Everybody worships. There is something, and probably that thing that you see is huge right now is connected to that. There is something that you have exalted to the place of ultimate in your life, but we are created as worshipers. God created you in his image to worship, for your heart to have something that it pursues passionately. Everybody worships. The question is, what is it that you worship? But here's the truth. We become like what we worship. We will become like what we worship. Author and pastor Louis Giglio, in his book, The Air I Breathe, said this. He said, you can worship whatever you want, but there will always be a last twist to the story. Whatever you worship, you imitate. And whatever you imitate, you become. In other words, whatever you value most will determine who you are. Whatever you worship, you will imitate. Whatever you imitate, you will become. And here's what happens when I praise. When I begin to praise, my life and my lips begin to magnify the greatness of my God. And this is starting to saturate my life. All of a sudden, the one that I am pursuing is Jesus. I am seeing the greatness of my God. And as I see the greatness of my God, my life will begin to imitate him. I will become more like him. And that is an outcome of downloading worship and praise into my life. And so my goal, like I said, what I really want to do this morning is just say, well, how does this look? And each of these psalms, we're going to use it as a model. So go ahead and find Psalm 146, and let's look at this model of worship, this model of praise, as a psalmist calls the people of God to praise. What happens here is this is a call to do it corporately, but anywhere there is a call to do it together, it is also a cry that we are doing this alone by ourselves. So it's both and. Psalm 146. Go ahead and find that in your Bibles. It's on page 446 in the Bible at the end of your rows. We'd love for you to grab one of those. Read along with us, all right? Psalm 146. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of read this, and then I'm going to, as I read it, I'm going to explain a little bit at a time what it says and what it means, and then I'm going to reflect it, what it would look like to pray it, okay? So the first thing, verse one, he says this. The first part here is literally there's a declaration. The psalmist opens with a declaration of praise. Verses 1 and 2, he says, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being. Now, the first word is a very important word. It's a word that is, every language has this exact same word. If you go to Spanish, if you go to English, if you go to French, it doesn't matter what culture, they have taken this word and just made their own word out of it, and that is the word hallelujah, okay? Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, that's a great word because the word, the end of the word is the root word for the name of God in the Old Testament, Yahweh, okay? A hallel means it literally comes from a word that means to shine or to reflect glory. And it became a word that was used in a lot of cultures to mean to magnify, to exalt a heart that is just passionate about what you are praising. It is saying our hearts, like I said, are designed to magnify, to worship something, but my heart will celebrate and magnify and make great the name of Yahweh, the name of God. And so when we say hallelujah, say it again. When we say hallelujah, what we're really literally saying is my heart, my very being is going to magnify God, Yahweh. This is the theme of my life. There are several psalms, including the last five here, 146 to 150, that both begin and end with this declaration, hallelujah. And so the psalmist here begins just by this great declaration. Here's the core. God is praised. God is worshiped. And then he goes on to say it again. He says it second time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He says, oh, my soul, deep in my depths. Look at the next one. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. So not only deep in my heart, but as long as I live, this is what's going to be on my lips. And then finally, he says, I will sing praises while I have my being. Listen, have my being goes past the grave. We don't cease being at death. We will have being eternally. And here's what he's saying. The first verse here is literally, it is a praise. He's saying, praise Almighty God. Praise Almighty God. From the very depths of my soul, as long as I live, and literally beyond the grave, as long as I have being, the cry of my heart will be, hallelujah. We have got to get to that point. This is the goal, okay? This is what we want in our lives, to come to a point where everything about me is this. And then the second thing he does here is he gives us a reason. Why is this important? Why is it that we need to praise? Why is it that our lives need to be like this? Verse 3 and 4, he says, put not your trust in princes or in the son of man whom there's no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. He's saying, listen, if your hallels, if your praise, if your worship is about something that is here, the hope of some human who will come in and save you and rescue you from your situation. If your hopes and dreams are somebody in the government, if your hopes and dreams are some guy or some girl or some kid in your life, you know, as a parent, and you think that's going to be the rescue of your life, there's no salvation in that. Because there's a day where they have their last breath and it's over. And we're in a world that is literally in the last few days exalted two people just off the map. Some of you even got up at 4 a.m. to watch that deal on Friday, which I don't understand, but that's cool. If you're into princesses and fairy tales and all that, it was lovely. The kiss was lousy, but it was lovely. And then over the weekend, we found out that a pope who had passed away is moving to a place of higher and higher worship. And the psalmist here says, if your hope, if your worship and praise goes towards a person, there's no salvation in that. And so why do we praise? Because there's only one object of our worship that will mean anything, that will work, that will fix, that will give us hope. And so we praise God. We shout hallelujah. But then he goes on to tell us, he shows us how to praise. And look at the praises. There's nine praises here in Psalm 146. There are nine things that literally turn this from blessed is he to blessed is me, verse five. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord of his God. I mean, pray it like this. God, I am blessed if my hope is in you, in the God of Jacob. I am blessed if my hope is in the Lord God. But the first thing he praises God for, the first thing he says is he says, I can praise you, O God, because you are involved. You are not distant. You are not far. Look at what he says. He says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. If God intervenes and steps into my life, I am blessed. And you can know that we can praise God for who he is because he is the God. He is a God who is involved. He is a God who is not distant. He is a God who intervenes in our lives, who hears our prayers, who is part of who we are. He is a God who is involved. And as you sit down this week and you say, God, I want to praise you, the first thing you can say is that, God, I can praise you. I can worship you. I can exalt you because you have not left me alone. I'm not out here dangling a string hoping you will show up. You are my help. You are the God who is in my life. I turn to you. I praise you because you are involved. The second thing he praises him for is being the creator. Look at verse 6. Who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. If you read the Psalms, you are going to hear this. Like, you're going to see whole Psalms that are just exalting God as the creator. And creation is amazing. If you were to go to an art museum or to listen to a great piece of music, there is something about being wrapped up in the song or the piece of art. But what happens in your life is when you hear a great song, a great piece of art, a great sculpture, if it brings you to a point where you're just deeply moved, there should always be a connect the dots there from what you see in the deep moving to being at awe, not only at the piece of art, but the artist who created it, right? And so when you listen to a piece of music that just, it goes beyond just tapping your foot to all of a sudden you're like, man, this is great. You want to go find out who wrote this, who recorded it, who put it on a CD. I mean, who is behind this song? Because there's curiosity and interest there to know more. I'm a Gerber Daisy guy, okay? I don't know why, because I'm not a real big flower person, but something about seeing Gerber Daisies, okay? And so, like, I was in Walmart this morning, they have them out, and every time I walk by a tray of Gerber Daisies, I want to buy them for my wife, which is a lie, because she doesn't like Gerber Daisies. She puts up with Gerber Daisies because I love Gerber Daisies, but there's something, I just want to buy these. Now, I didn't today, but I almost did. I almost did. There's just something about them that I am just awed at. But hear me. It's not the Gerber Daisies that I shouldn't stop there. When I see the beauty of creation, there always is in this a reminder that there is somebody greater than the creation behind it. When I see the Grand Canyon, when I see a mountain and vale, when I see the awesome rivers. And what happens is you start reading and praying the Psalms, as you start seeing these. Like, I was reading one last week that talked about the power of God and compared it to a river that is flooding and out of its banks. And I got thinking, what does that mean? What is the psalmist trying to say? And then I started driving around seeing exactly what we're talking about. And there's two things that goes on in a river when it's flooding. First of all, there's nothing you can do to contain it. And second of all, the last place you want to be is out in the middle of the river because it will sweep you away and there's nothing you can do. That's our God. You are not going to contain him. And when he is flowing, there's nothing you can do to stop it, right? And the river is now a picture of something about the greatness of God. And so the psalmist here stops and says, when you're praising, when you are praying, say, God, you are the creator. And when you're outside and you see the beauty of creation, you're just like, whoa, it is cool. Like, springtime is just the ultimate time for that, right? And so you walk outside and you go, wow. Don't stop there. Don't stop with wow. Go, wow, God, this is all you're doing. How cool you are. And Romans tells us that in creation, in the glory of creation, that creation is literally crying out, telling us that there is a God and showing us his character. Don't ever stop with the beauty of the flowers. Find the one who made the flowers. Don't ever stop at the awe of the mountains. Find the awe of the mountains. And start as you download this app into your life. Make creation one of those big places where every time you have a moment where you're awed, don't stop there. Don't stop there, okay? Go past it to the painter, to the artist, to the creator. Third area here he praises is because God is just. Verse 7. Verse 7, he says, he executes justice for the oppressed. The idea that at the end of the day, God is going to make things right. Where evil exists, he is a God who is just. And sometimes our prayer needs to be, God, you are a just and holy and righteous God. Your character is perfect. You will make things right. Another thing he praises him for here in verse 7 is that God is the provider. Look at this. He gives food to the hungry. God, you provide for us. You take care of us. We don't understand this passage very well because very few of us know what it's like to experience hunger. Hunger for us is I ate lunch and it's 5 o'clock. I'm starting to feel those pains because I've conditioned my stomach to want to gorge myself every 4 hours. But when somebody's desperate and they haven't eaten for days, here's what the psalmist is saying. We need to praise God because he knows and he cares and he provides. He takes care of us. Another thing that the psalmist praises for is that he's powerful. Verse 8, he says, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those who are bowed down. Look at that. I mean, this is what we've been seeing in Mark. We've been looking at the life of Jesus as he has been healing people, opening the eyes of the blind, that he is powerful, that God is able to deal with the problems in our lives and the brokenness that we encounter. He also praises God, verse 9, for loving. Verses 8 and 9, he says, the Lord loves the righteous. He watches over the sojourners and he upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked, he brings the ruin. Hear what he says? God loves people. He's compassionate with people who are broken. He cares for the widow. God is not just distant, uncaring God. He's a God who loves people. He loves you. What does it look like to go, God, I praise you because you love me? There are times in my life, just being God honest with you here, there are times in my life where that thought overwhelms me because I know me. And to stand, there's times where I literally just tremble going, God, you love me. Why? I don't know, but you love me. And I worship you. And then he praises God for being king. Verse 10, the Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, that you rule. You are sovereign, O God. I worship you because you are sovereign. You are in control. And then the last thing, and it's actually embedded in the entire psalm, but we see the hint of it in verse 3. He says, put not your trust in princes, in a man, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. Now, the implication is, where does salvation come from? God, the Lord, salvation. And so the entire psalm hinges on that word, as does the entire Bible. The entire Bible is a story. But here's what's really interesting as you read people write about psalms. Every psalm is retelling a little bit of this story, and the core of the story is from a verse that happens in Jonah's prayer. At the very end of Jonah's prayer, in Jonah chapter 2, from the belly of the whale, there is the thumbtack that sticks in the middle that everything in the Bible hinges on, and it is this phrase, salvation belongs to our God. That's it. And every psalm is taking that theme and crying out and singing to God that theme. And here's the deal. We praise God because our salvation belongs to our God. He's our hope. He's our dream. He's the only one who will fix the brokenness inside of us. And we know that that story is going to take us to the cross. So here's what happens. Every psalm has an arrow pointing forward. Every single psalm, sometimes it's there, it's so stinking clear that it just shows up and it's obvious. And as you start reading the New Testament, Psalms is quoted more than any other Old Testament book. Because the writers of the New Testament keep finding these little arrows that point us forward to Jesus. Now reread the Psalms and we can look back to the Psalms saying that Jesus has fulfilled everything the Psalm promised us and everything the psalmist praised for. And so, oh, Jesus, you are the creator. Oh, Jesus, you are the provider. Oh, Jesus, you are the one who fills my life. Oh, Jesus, you are the one who's all powerful. You are the one who loves me. Jesus, you are my king. And so the psalm becomes an avenue to get us to know the cross and to get us to know the resurrection and to help us find Jesus. And so here's what happens. Here's praise for you, okay? And if you're like, I don't really know what to do with that, just start here in Psalm 146 and just start personalizing this. Start saying, God, I praise you with all my soul, with all my being, as long as I live. I will not trust in princes. I will not trust in anybody else because there's no salvation there. But Lord, I am blessed because you are my help. And Lord, I praise you because you made heaven and earth. Lord, I worship you because you are faithful. You keep your faith forever. I can always trust you. And Lord, you are the one who executes justice for the oppressed. You will make all things right. And God, I just worship you because you take care of the hungry. God, I exalt you and honor you because you set prisoners free and you open the eyes of the blind and you lift those who are bowed. And Lord, you love the righteous. And you watch over the sojourner. You uphold the widow and the fatherless. And Lord, you love me, which I'm awed at. And Father, you, oh Jesus, you will reign forever. I bow my knee to you. And then look at how he ends. Praise the Lord. There's hallelujah again. Hallelujah. He just, at the end, just... Woohoo! Hallelujah. And see what you see what happens when that downloads into your life? That stuff that was big before is not so big. Because salvation belongs to our God. So you gotta download this app, you gotta figure out what it looks like. And so our challenge for you is for the next week or so, just to start figuring out how do you download this app into your life. Let me talk to you real quick as I close this morning. Just kind of answer some questions. The first question is, when should you do this? The Bible actually tells us to praise, you know, with every breath, okay? So there is a sense in which there's an ongoing. But in the rhythm of life, as God taught the Hebrew people, the Levites would express hallels, express praises every morning and every evening. That's a good rhythm to create in your life. To say, in the morning when I wake up, the first thing that's gonna be on my lips is, God, I worship you and I praise you. I give you glory and I exalt you. And the last thing you say when you close your eyes, right before you close your eyes as you go to bed at night is, God, you are to be worshiped. My life worships you. So the first time is morning and evening. Another time that we ought to be praising is when I'm stuck. Sometimes we come to places in life we don't know what to do. And what the Bible's gonna teach us all through it is that those times I look up. And the best way to do that is to say, God, I don't know where to go, what to do, but I do trust you and I worship you. My lips will exalt the one who is king over my life. Another time to worship is when I'm in the midst of crisis. There are all kinds of psalms that talk or passages that talk about rejoicing. James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4 says, consider it joy, my brothers, when you face diverse trials. When you're in places where life is hard and it stinks, rejoice. Because the testing of your faith will produce endurance. It's a beautiful passage that reminds us when we're in crisis, that is a time for me to look up and praise. Listen, you got to download it then. When you're looking at your life and it feels like it's coming unglued, stop and worship. Learn that as an art. Another time is when you don't feel God's presence, when you feel alone. And then finally, when you are experiencing blessing in your life, stop and say, God, everything in my life that's good is from you, and I worship you. So here's some ideas. Let me give you just real quick three ideas, and then I'm gonna talk about what we're gonna do as a church with all this series. Idea number one is use music. A lot of passages in the Psalms are talking about singing to the Lord a new song. And some of us are musical, some of us aren't. But I would encourage you on your iPod, on your iPhone, on your MP3 player, whatever it is, that somewhere you have a folder that has some songs that talk about the greatness of God and you integrate that in your life. You can have Lynyrd Skynyrd alongside of that. This is not a, hey, you should only have Christian music on your iPod thing, but you should have something on your music use that will help you stop and celebrate the greatness of God in your life, and you can go to in moments and sing some of these psalms and things that you don't know when to praise and what to do. Just be careful with those. Because every once in a while, you get a song you like to sing, and you don't realize you're singing it. And like my most embarrassing moment in my life was when I was singing one of these songs, and I pulled in my driveway, and it was a song that was way out of my range, so I was singing in this really stupid falsetto voice. And I got out of my car and I just kept singing. My mind, I shut the car off and turned the song off, but I just kept singing, got out. My neighbor was watering his grass, just looking at me like, what are you doing? And that was uncomfortable and awkward. So I wouldn't do that if I were you, but use music. Another thing you might want to do is spend a lot of time in the Psalms. If you're like, all right, this is kind of new. I've never thought about this. The Psalms are dripping with this. Just everywhere you go, there's this kind of worship going on in the Psalms, a reminder. And last thing to do, I would challenge you to start doing this, especially with your kids. Start creating an ABC list and teach the ABCs, and even you yourself, do the ABCs and see if you can come up with something about God and who he is with every letter of the alphabet. Here, let's do it. What's something we could say about A? God is? Heard awesome. What else I hear? Almighty. How about B?
Beautiful.
Big. How about C? God is cool. That's good. See if you can do that. Keep working on it. Develop a list that you can almost, that once you do it, memorize it and start just reciting this and you have someplace to go. Here's just three real quick ideas. So where are we going from this, okay? This is kind of an all-encompassing series and emphasis. There's a couple things we were gonna do. First of all, on the blog, every week after the sermon, what I'm going to do is I'm going to post a whole bunch of ideas on how to download this. So I'll post the three that I just shared with you plus a bunch other. And listen to me, we are not a real technologically involved church. I'm going to be real honest with you. When I hope this stuff will happen, like two people do it. Okay. My hope is that this will be a little better because this is what I hope will happen. I hope that I will post on the blog this week a list of some ideas that you can pull from and integrate into your life, and you can like say the ABCs or come up with some other things you could do. But I also hope it will start a conversation and a whole bunch of you will say, well, this is something that I do in my life that works for me. And the outcome is the blog that just keeps growing with more and more responses where somebody could go to it and go, this is new. Because we're different. Not everybody's going to like get out of their truck singing. And so you may have different ways of expressing it where you get to praise, but it's not the same way that I do it. But a whole bunch of ideas will help people come up with ways to integrate this in life. So we're gonna do that in a blog. We're also gonna have this go on in community groups, and I'm asking our community group leaders to have a conversation, and that at the end of the conversation that like you take notes, and the community group leader will then go on the blog and post what your community group said as well. So this will happen in community groups. And then the last thing we're gonna do, I wanna highlight this month, is during the month, we have a prayer journal for you, okay? In fact, Dave is back there. He's gonna get some people to help out. We need everybody to get one of those right now. And while they're handing them out, just listen to me. We are gonna give everybody in our church a prayer journal. If you're a community group leader and you know some folks from your group aren't here, go ahead and grab a couple extra at the end of service. Grab one now, but grab a couple extra. It's also already posted on the blog, okay? Pardon me. And here's what we want you to do. Every day for the next month, you will first of all have a psalm that is a model of prayer. It will be a model of the prayer that we talked about on Sunday. So this week, there are seven psalms of praise that literally are prayers that you can open up the psalm and pray that prayer. And just all you gotta do is recite the words that are on the page as a prayer. Then each day there are some things to pray for. And we're gonna ask you to use that during this coming month. And we're gonna see two things happen as a result of this. First of all, we as a people are gonna pray more. But second, we're gonna be praying together. And what you pray for today and tomorrow, I will also be joining you in prayer. And I'm really grateful for a couple who is leading us as a church towards more and more prayerfulness. Tom is one of the guys that shows up faithfully every Friday morning. And Tom and Sydney are leading us as a church, and they wrote this, they put it together, they have worked their tail off to make this available for you. And to close this, we're going to sing in a few minutes, we're going to worship Jesus, but to close this, we're going to have a time of prayer. I'm going to ask them to come out and talk to you a little bit more about the prayer journal, and then we're going to do the first day, May 1st, together, corporately, okay? And then you can do Tuesday, May 2nd, by yourself, and put that prayer journal somewhere where you can use it every day. So tell us about it, and then lead us, all right?
Well, first of all, Tom and I want to take this time to encourage you to make a commitment to pray and read your Bible every day. You know, find a time that works for you. Set your Bible and the prayer journal out where you'll see it. And then after this month, I think you'll realize that you'll want to continue to do that. In the prayer calendar, you'll see a psalm to read and meditate on before you pray. There are some thoughts listed there from the psalm in the acrostic, P-R-A-Y. You'll also have a space to jot down personal requests and a place to come back to later to look at those and to jot down thoughts and answers to prayer. The acrostic reminds us that prayer is more than just asking God for things. We need to praise him for who he is, like Mike showed us this morning. The Bible shows us his awesome characteristics, and as we learn those and get to know those, and by prayer, actually get to know him better. Repent from the sins that he shows you, and ask for strength to turn away from those. Then we can ask or talk to God about our concerns, about ourselves, and about others. And then yield by applying his word to your life, and always remembering to give thanks for all he's done for you. In doing this, I hope you realize how amazing it is to talk to God and getting to know him better.
As Mike said this morning, we're going to walk through day one together. And I just want to encourage you to go through this month and continue to pray. And how excited I am knowing that as we pray on a daily basis, we reach out to God, and God's going to literally transform us individually, and he'll also transform us as a church. So if you would, please bow your heads with me and let's pray. Dear God, we praise you for your holiness, your righteousness, and your justice. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us strength and guidance in times of need. We praise you for who you are in all of our circumstances. Father, please forgive us when we rely on things other than you, when we depend on our job, our government, and our money to take care of us. Remind us that you are our salvation. You are all we need, regardless of what's going on in our lives. Father, give us the strength and wisdom to seek out and follow your lead. Encourage us to trust you and not our own instincts. God, only you know what's best for our lives. We pray that you open our eyes to see your will. Lord, help us to be still, watching, and listening for your presence in our lives. Show us your will, not ours. Give us the desire to seek you daily by reading your word and praying to you. God, we also want to pray for our nation's leaders, that President Obama and Congress seek your wisdom instead of leaning on their own understandings. And Father, we ask that you bless and protect our nation and restore them to seek after you. Father, we also want to lift up Genesis Church and ask that you bless us as we dedicate this month to seek you through reading your word and praying daily. We pray that we develop a burning desire to continually seek after you daily. We also want to lift up the elders, Mike, John, Leon, and Bob, and ask that you continue to bless them and their families. Speak to their hearts as they lead Genesis Church. Give them the wisdom to carry out your will in our community. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.